It's a great delight to be here this morning. I'm from Christchurch, just up the road, as Lyndon said, and I've known this church for many years, but it's only the second time I've been asked to preach, and once you've heard it, I may well be the last. Lyndon mentioned the appointment of the Archbishop of Canterbury. I don't know if you're aware that there's a consultation going on to which everybody is invited to contribute, and it closes on the 28th of March, which is quite soon. So if you want to have your say about what we need in a new archbishop, or want to suggest somebody who'd be very good at the job, then please do that. You can do it by letter or email, or as an online form as well that you can use. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the living word of God. So, Lord Holy Spirit, would you come and open that word to us now? You inspired it, so would you speak to each of us today to hear your voice and give us the faith and the courage to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So do you like receiving invitations, maybe to dinner or a birthday party, a wedding or a baptism? I love to. It's very affirming. Someone's thought of me and wants my company or my presence at their special event. I've been chosen. And in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah brings an amazing set of invitations from God to his chosen people. There's an invitation to the thirsty to come and drink. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. There's an invitation to the poor and the starving to eat their fill for free. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's an invitation to stop wasting resources and time and effort on things that don't nourish us. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? And instead, to focus all our time and attention on the Lord so that we are truly and lastingly satisfied with his goodness and delighted by the food he gives. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And there is an invitation to life in all its fullness. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. This is the authentic voice of our loving Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He longs to lavish on us everything we need in order to thrive and enjoy that life in all its fullness that Jesus promised us in John chapter 10. He promises faithful, everlasting love, and to endow us, and we know what we're really like, endow us with his splendor, the splendor of his holiness. And it's not just a promise, but a covenant, a sworn commitment by the unchanging God, which cannot be broken. But an invitation is no use if we just put it on the mantelpiece and do nothing about it. We need to reply to the invitation, to accept it. And then we need to get ourselves to the place to which we have been invited. Isaiah's hearers were told that if they wanted to accept God's invitations, they needed to come to him and listen to him. They couldn't just stay where they were and go on doing what they were doing and expect God to bless them anyway. So Isaiah told them, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. In short, they need to repent, to turn around, to change direction, to think differently. They turned away from God and were moving away from him. Their repentance would turn them around and bring them running back to him. And like the father of the prodigal son of whom Jesus spoke, their heavenly Father would have mercy on them and freely pardon them from all their offences. Just imagine for a moment that up at the altar there's a waterfall coming down from heaven, full of God's blessing. But if I walk down here, turn my back on the blessing, I'm not going to benefit from it, am I? Or if I just sit here and admire it from a distance, still not going to benefit from it. I might be comfortable, I might be enjoying my whatever it is I'm doing. But the blessing God's calling me to is up there. So repentance makes me move. If I'm walking that way, it makes me turn around and move towards the blessing. I'm not going to go all the way up there now, but you get the picture. God made us in his image. But when we turn away from him, we tend to forget what he's truly like, and we remake him in our image. And of course, a God made in our image is not the real God at all, but an idol. So God needed to remind his people that he was not the cozy idol they thought he was, but is altogether different. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yet when we repent and come back to him, when we get really close, as if we'd gone up for communion, we see what he is really like. Vastly more powerful, more holy, more loving than we ever thought. And he teaches us to be like him and to think like him. A real danger for the people of God is that we become complacent and presumptuous. We come to rely on our status as if that by itself guaranteed God's favor. We might say, well, I'm baptized, so I'm okay. Or I made a commitment to Christ 30 years ago, so I'm okay. But in our New Testament reading, 1 Corinthians 10, St. Paul points out that such attitudes are really dangerous. He says that the ancestors of the people Isaiah prophesied to, the Jews who fled from Egypt through the Red Sea, were really just like us. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, just as we are baptized into Christ. They all ate of the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink as we do, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ, says Paul. Baptized like we are, feeding on and drinking of Christ, as we will this morning in the Holy Communion. They may have presumed that they were securely and permanently living under God's favor. And we may too. But Paul points out that despite all of that, God was not pleased with most of them. Why? Because some of them were idolaters. Some of them committed sexual immorality. Some of them tested the Lord. And some of them grumbled. Have you ever come across that in church? In each case, they experienced God's immediate judgment, despite their status as the people of God. And Paul says that these things which happened to Israel in the desert so many thousand years ago are examples and warnings for us today. So he says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Temptation and testing comes to all of us. But if instead of presuming on God's mercy, we humbly turn to him in repentance and depend on him and on his enabling, Paul says that our faithful God will not let us be tempted or tested beyond what we can bear, but will provide a way out so that we can endure it. And in our gospel reading from Luke 13, Jesus, while making clear that Roman violence and natural disasters that kill people are not themselves necessarily direct judgment on the personal sin of the victims, nevertheless, he makes it alarmingly clear that unless we repent, we will perish like them, or like the unfruitful tree in his parable. In his mercy, he bears with us long, nurturing us, fertilizing us with his word and his spirit, breaking up the soil in which we're growing so that his water, as it were, his fertilizer, can permeate down to our roots, creating all the conditions for us to bear the fruit he designed us for, the bearing of which will bring profound fulfillment and delight to us, as well as glory, praise, and honor to God. So today the ball is in our court. Our Heavenly Father has issued his invitations. Will we accept them? If we've been turning our back on God and his ways, will we turn round and face him and come running to the place he has invited us to be with him? If we've been comfortably worshipping an idol of our own making instead of the true and living God, will we too repent and move from there to the place to which he calls us? Repentance can be difficult and painful, since it involves giving up our chosen preferences for his. It can mean putting to death habits and beliefs that we've treasured for years. It's what Jesus meant when he talked about us taking up our cross and following him. Yet it is the way, the only way, to the greatest joy and most sublime fulfillment and satisfaction. Because as the old collect for this Sunday, which Lyndon read before, as that says, when we choose to walk in the way of the cross, we find it to be none other than the way of life and peace. So let's pray silently together for a short while. Make our own response to our Heavenly Father's invitations to turn around and head for the place where he wants to bless us and meet our deepest needs. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.